Today's shir is sponsored Le'ili Nishmas, Rav Yirmiyahu Gedalia ben Rav Avram Avish Burstein, whose yard site is Chaf Aleph Adar, by his family. He was a tremendous Baal Chesed, and Chazal say somebody who is a Baal Chesed in this world continues to do Chesed, especially with his family, even after he's Nifter. It should be a Zechusfa for the Mishpacha. We're in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chof Ches, Posuk Yud Beis. To recap, we had the Plishtim had gathered to fight against Klal Yisrael, and Shaul had gathered Klal Yisrael as an opposing force against the Plishtim, and Shaul was terrified. He felt he didn't have the heart. Vayechra libo ma'od, his heart trembled at the prospect of fighting the Plishtim. And he asked by Hashem, he wasn't answered, not by dreams, not with the Urim V'tumim, not through the Nevi'im. There was no communication. What was going to happen? So Shaul requested from his servants to find a balas ov, a woman who knows how to do this art of communicating with the dead, of bringing up a spirit, and somehow she would be able to provide the answer. She would bring up the spirit, we'll see, of Shmuel Hanovi, and Shmuel would, for the last time, guide Shaul in what was going to be the future and what he should do. Shaul disguised himself, and he went with his two men to this balas ov, to this woman at night, and he said to use the magic, to the art of ov, and bring up the spirit that he asks her to bring up. And she says, well, you know that Shaul destroyed everyone who was involved in these types of activities. The Torah forbids it. And Shaul removed anybody who did this. It's a trick. You're going to catch me. And he swore to her and he said, Chai Hashem, he swore nothing will happen to her. She'll have no guilt for doing this. Shaul wouldn't hurt her. And Shaul was telling her it's not even Averi. He was convinced because of the situation of Sakonas Nefoshos, the danger for the whole Jewish people, she was allowed to do this. So the woman said, who should I bring up? And Shaul said, bring up Shmuel. We're on Pasuk Yud Beis. Vatera ha'isha es Shmuel. The woman saw Shmuel. Vatizak b'kol gadol. And she screamed with a tremendously loud voice. She screamed, it's Shmuel! Vatomer ho'ishol shol. And the woman said to Shaul, Lamor, saying, Loma rimi soni, why did you deceive me? You tricked me. Vata shol, and you are Shaul. Or as he came disguised, he didn't say who he was. And now when she saw Shmuel, she turned to the king and she said, you tricked me! You're Shaul! Shaul's the one who destroyed and removed everybody who did this balasov, and you told me you wouldn't hurt me, and now I see you're here. It's you, Shaul. There's a number of different issues to discuss in this pasuk. First of all, the Mefarshim are bothered with the whole concept. Or the balasov is an activity that the Torah normally forbids. And we'll see in a moment that Shaul was wrong for doing it. He felt he was justified, and even so, it was held against him. But it's certainly the type of activity that's normally forbidden. It would go sort of in that category of the black magic and the kochus atuma, the forces of impurity, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, tamim tiyim Hashem lakacha. You have to be perfect. You have to serve Hashem. And there has to be a trust. And if somebody wants to know the future, the only way that's allowed is to ask the Navi. They would go to the Nevi'im and the Nevi'im would tell them what will be. But communicating with a balas ov is not normally allowed. That's a koach atuma. And over here you take somebody who's a practitioner of this ov, and she has the ability to bring back one of the greatest leaders of Klal Yisrael, a Kadosh Elyon, to bring Shmuel down, back to this world. But anybody who does this type of trade can bring back the greatest tzaddikim, and like he's We'll see in a moment, he didn't want to come. He's going to, Shmuel's upset that he was brought back. So how did this Baal HaSov have a right to bring back somebody as great as Shmuel? How exactly did this work? And there are a number of different explanations exactly how this Ov worked. The Abarbanel brings down a number of them from Rav Shmuel ben, one pshat is from Rav Shmuel ben Chofni, who is obviously a Rishon, he's quoted by the Abarbanel. And Rav Shmuel ben Chofni says, this whole idea of Nov was a lie. She fooled him, there's nothing to it, it's all a bunch of nonsense. What happened? She realized that that Shul was obviously terrified. And Klal Yisrael knew that he had made a mistake with Amalek, and that Shmuel had told him he was going to lose the Malchus, and that David was the one who was anointed to be king. And she realized the Plishti army was gathered and was a tremendous army, and Klal Yisrael would lose the war. So when somebody showed up with her, disguised, and asked her what's going to be, so immediately she figured, probably, and the questioner wanted to speak to Shmuel. Not everybody who has his minor problem go and bring back the spirit of Shmuel. She figured it must be Shaul who's asking. And based on the way she thought through the situation, obviously it must be Shaul, and he's asking for Shmuel, and he wants to know what's going to happen, and Shmuel will probably tell Shaul everything wrong that he did, and that Klai Shaul will lose the war, which is what she told him. That was a, like a logical type of response. But there was nothing really to this Baal HaSov. The problem with that is that we'll see in a moment, Shmuel spoke to Shaul, and Shaul spoke to Shmuel. It seems to be, Rav Shmuel ben Chofni would learn obviously that the woman was communicating the words of Shmuel, but the psukim seemed to imply that it was actually Shmuel's voice. To say it was just the woman talking the whole time, it doesn't seem to be that way in the psukim. Besides that, the Sanhedrin, we mentioned, knew exactly all these types of activities the Sanhedrin was fully acquainted with, because whenever somebody was brought to Beis Din for transgressing one of these capital crimes, the Sanhedrin had to know exactly what was done and the whole art. And there was obviously something to it. But the Sanhedrin knew what was happening, and Shaul knew exactly how this power of Ov works. And to tell me that the woman was just fooling him and there was nothing to it and it was a lie, it's difficult to say that. And we'll see that when Shaul heard the report, he collapsed and he fell on the ground. It was just the woman telling him, Shmuel said this. He wouldn't have had such a reaction. It seems from the psukim that we're going to learn that actually it was the voice of Shmuel that Shaul was reacting to. So that explanation is difficult. Another explanation brought by the Ralbag is that it all worked with imagery. She wasn't lying, but it worked with the Koyach HaDimyon. Meaning Chazal say that with the Ov, the person who brings up the spirit is able to see the person that's brought up. He can see it. Nobody else sees it. The person who has the question, who wants to communicate with the dead, he hears the message. He hears the voice, but he sees nothing. But he can hear the voice. And everybody else sees nothing and hears nothing. That's the way it works. As one person goes to another, goes to the Baal Ov to bring up the spirit, the one who brings it up sees, and the one who has the question hears, and everybody else neither sees nor hears. The Ralbag says it's logical. It's all working with this power of imagery. The person who wants to bring up the spirit, in other words, this woman is now thinking in her mind. She's focusing on Shmuel. She wants to see Shmuel. She wants Shmuel to appear, to come back to the living, to communicate a message, and she's thinking of Shmuel and thinking of Shmuel until it almost becomes lifelike. And she imagines that Shmuel is actually standing in front of her. But all she's interested in is bringing in the spirit of Shmuel. So of course she doesn't hear anything. But since she's focusing on that vision, she wants to see Shmuel, she wants Shmuel to come, she's able to see it. The person asking the question wants an answer. That's why he's asking. He wants the message. So for the person asking the question, he hears the answer because he's thinking, what is that nifter going to be communicating? What's going to be the message? He's focusing on the message, so he's able to hear the message. Sometimes like these people tell you, messages are conveyed, mental telepathy and other types of ways of communicating in the mind of somebody, thinking of somebody else. With a koyach hadimyon, that's the way it worked. And everybody else, if you're not thinking about seeing anything, and you're not thinking of hearing anything, and if you're not thinking, you don't see anything. Anybody else in the room is unaware of all of this. And the Rambam has the same approach. The Rambam has the same approach as the Ralbag. But the other Mefarshim argue very strongly against it. Because first of all, a person who imagines that he's seeing something, and it becomes so lifelike that he's convinced. We're not talking about a person sleeping. We're talking about somebody who's alive, who's in a more than a daydream, but he's imagining something when he's awake. He's awake, and he's imagining something, and then he can't differentiate between a live person and what he's imagining. And that's a shaita. The person is a fool. In other words, he's lost all sense of reality. So Shaul is now here, and Shaul is like a shaita. And why did he have to go to this woman who's a Baal HaSov? Let him sit alone in a room and imagine something, and then he'll get whatever message. It seems to be there's something more to it. And all the words that this woman said, the Baal HaSov, or the whole message communicated from Shmuel, we'll see, came true. And overall, the approach of the Abarbanel and the other Mefarshim, there's a Gra in Shulchan Aruch that brings this down when it talks about these activities. And he says certain things the Rambam said because, in terms of philosophy, the Rambam was a great philosopher, and whatever the explanation the Rambam is, he took a rational approach to a lot of issues. But the Gra says, chas v'shalom to believe it, it has to be, the Torah says this over, there really is such a thing, and all these activities, it's not just imagining, it's actually, there is some power and some force of impurity. I once heard an explanation. It's hard for us to imagine nowadays. But first of all, Azel umazel asel lokim. When Klal Yisrael had Nevi'im, there had to be an opposing force that a person could always have his doubts. In other words, you're not sure to serve Hashem because there's some other opposing force. Now that we don't have Nevi'im, so obviously the opposing forces don't exist either. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps a certain balance. And if Klal Yisrael is on a high madrega, the forces of evil have a greater strength. And when we're on a weaker level, those forces are likewise weakened. But it's interesting to know that this concept actually existed all over the world. In other words, whether in Australia or in Africa or in America or in Europe, they always believed in witchcraft and in things like that, with the Salem witch trials, and so it was believed all over the world that there were these forces and they had to do dances to drive away the spirits. So now we look at it and you figure it's all nonsense and it's backward and who knows what. But it was believed all over the world. So even rationally, the most logical thing is to believe there was such a force and now it doesn't exist. So if now it seems ridiculous, because nowadays there is no such force. I say there's a lot to be said. There are mices. There was a mice with a Chofetz Chaim and a shade, but seemingly now it doesn't exist. And but in those days, simply of course, there was a Baal HaSov. So that explanation of the Ralbag, the Abarbanel rejects, and the other Mefarshim. Rav Haigon and Rav Sadia Gon say that what happened was, Shaul went to this Baal HaSov, and she wanted the Baal HaSov to bring up the spirit of Shmuel. But a Baal HaSov doesn't have the power to bring back the neshama of a tzaddik and a kadosh. Somebody like Shmuel should be schlepped back to this world. But once he went to the Baal HaSov, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of did a tchias ameisim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Shmuel back to life. Because Hashem wanted Shmuel to communicate what was going to happen. The problem, though, is, again, in the Psukim, it seems to be that he went to the Baal HaSov, and the Baal HaSov said, who should I bring up? And he said Shmuel, and that didn't faze her, and she was prepared to bring up Shmuel. And why should Hashem decide, well, now that you go to the Baal HaSov, I'll bring up the spirit of Shmuel? If Hashem wanted Shaul to know what would be, he should have given it. There should be a nevuah, should the Urim, or there should be a dream that he should know what's happening. To work through the Baal HaSa'ov seems to be difficult. And it seems to be she was afraid, not because something unexpected happened, that she assumed she was going to bring up the spirit with Ov, and instead Hashem caused like a Tchias HaMesim. She was afraid simply because she realized it was Shaul, that the one that brought up Shmuel was Shaul. Another approach, and this is the Abarbanel's approach, is he says three introductions. First of all, Abarbanel learns, when a person is nifter, everybody's body is placed in the ground, and whatever happens to the goof, everyone's goof is the same. That's what the Abarbanel says, the bodies are all the same. The neshama goes up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the body's in the ground, and to bring up the body of a tzaddik, whether it's the body of a tzaddik or the body of a rosh, it's all in the ground, the body's the same. The neshama goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's his first, rule, theorem. The second one is Shadim is an actual existence. There are these types of spirits, and they're able to know the future. The Gemara says in Chagiga, Shadim have three things that they're like people. They eat and drink like people, they reproduce, and they die. Those three ideas, they're like people. And in three ways, they're like Malachei Ashores. They have wings, they can fly from one end of the world to the other, and they hear what's going to be in the future. They know what's going to be in the future. And the third idea is that the Shadim like to connect to the human body. They have some connection to a person, and they have a desire to connect with the person. When she did Ksumim, what she did is this woman, this Baal HaSa'ov, was somehow able to bring the spirit of a shed into the body of Shmuel. Now you're right, she couldn't touch the neshama of Shmuel. Of course, that was the Koyach HaTumah has no control at all. But on the body of Shmuel, she was able to bring in the shade, and the shade was able to communicate. Another pshat brought down is from the Akedas Yitzchak, the Meforshim bring down, is that it could be the Baal HaSa'ov started this activity to bring up the spirit of Shmuel. And when Shmuel realized how much he was needed, on his own he decided to come. But not that he was like coerced to come. He was upset that they started to bring him, but once he was aware of it, he came on his own. And the final pshat, which the Malbim says, which is closest to the Gemara says in Shabbos, on Daf Kuf Nun Beis, the Gemara asks, how did this Baal HaSa'ov bring up the spirit of Shmuel? And the Gemara says, within 12 months of a person's petira, the spirit goes up to Shemaim, and it comes back down, it goes up and comes back down, and it still keeps in touch with this world for 12 months. During those 12 months, the spirit comes down, and the Baal HaSa'ov was able to bring it up. And the Malbim elaborates that there's a neshama, and the neshama goes up to Shemaim, and that's untouchable. But there's a nefesh hahiyuli, some type of, not the neshama, but a nefesh, exactly what these concepts are, we don't know. But there is some type of spirit, some connection that the nifter has with this world for 12 months. And therefore, that spirit, not mamish, the neshama of Shmuel, but this nefesh, she was able to bring up. So anyways, Vatero Isha Shmuel, somehow this Baal HaSa'ov brought up the spirit of Shmuel, and she said, and she saw Shmuel, again, she doesn't hear anything, but she sees the image of Shmuel, Vatizak b'kol gadol, and she screamed with a loud voice, Vatomer ha'ishel shol, and the woman said to Shol, Lamor, saying, the word Lamor is actually redundant, seemingly, it could have just said, Vatomer ha'ishel shol, Loma rimi sani, the woman said to Shol, why did you trick me? Why did you deceive me? Vata Shol, your Shol. The Ramban, though, at the beginning of Parshas Vaera, there's a discussion in general. Whenever it says in the Torah, Vaidabra Hashem Moshe Lamor, what does the word Lamor mean? Vaidabra Hashem Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe. What's the word Lamor? So some of Rishonim learn Lamor means Hashem spoke to Moshe, Lamor to tell Klal Yisrael. But the Ramban objects that, first of all, some psukim say, "Vaydavar Hashem al Moshe leimor, davar al b'nei Yisrael," or you know, psukim like that. So it could have just said, "Vaydavar Hashem al Moshe," Hashem spoke to Moshe, speak to b'nei Yisrael. What's the word leimor? And there's many other psukim that also use that. For instance, when Lavan met Yaakov, so Lavan said, "You should know Hashem appeared to me at night." Hashem said to me last night that I shouldn't say any bad or good to you, Yaakov. What's that word, lamor? Hashem said to me, lamor. The Ramban says, lamor means when the message is clear and absolute without any question whatsoever. That Lavan said to Yaakov, "You should know, last night I got a message that was 100% clear that I can't do anything to Yaakov." And Vaydavar Hashem Moshe lamor means Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was b'marev lo b'chidos. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was so clear. Pel pe'adaber bo. By Moshe Rabbeinu, Vaydavar Hashem Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe lamor with such a clarity, without any question whatsoever. And over here, the woman said to Shmuel, to Shaul, "Vatomer Ishel Shaul lamor." She said this with such a clarity, without the slightest doubt. Why did you deceive me? You are Shaul. She had no doubts whatsoever. This definitely is Shaul, even though he's disguised, and we'll see Poshet it's at night. But she had no doubt that the questioner is Shaul. How did she know? We'll see. You know, Rashi brings down that normally the person who's brought up through the art of the Ov comes up feet first, or the feet are on top. It comes upside down. In honor of the king, when a spirit is brought up, it arises head on top, in the proper manner, as respect for the malchus. She saw Shmuel, and Shmuel came up dressed, came up with head first, in honor of the king. So she had no doubt whatsoever that the one speaking to her, the one in front of her, is Shaul. Why are you deceiving me? You're Shaul. She doesn't call him the king. And we had before that she, Chazal mentioned, the Radak had mentioned this at the end of Pasuk Zion, that she was the mother of Avner, meaning she was the aunt of Shaul. Could be she was his aunt, so she didn't refer to him as the king. She just said, "You're Shaul." Yes, that's all family, you know. And it's, "Well, I need to see me, your show." Okay. Vayomer lo hamelech. And this is the only time in the perek where it refers to him as the king. Now, as he said this with all of the royal authority, Vayomer lo hamelech, the king said to her, "Al tiri, do not be afraid. Kimerois, what did you see?" Now, as again, the questioner sees nothing. So he wants to hear what's... He wants to hear a message from Shmuel. He hasn't heard anything, and he doesn't know what she saw. Vatomer ha'ishel Shaul. The woman said to Shaul, "Elohim ra'isi," or Pashto means angels. "Elohim ra'isi oli min ha'aretz." I saw angels. I saw, or it could mean important people. Like there's a pasuk in the Torah, "Elohim lo sakalel." One explanation is you're not allowed to curse Hashem, chas v'shalom. The other pshat is you're not allowed to curse a judge. Or Elohim could mean a judge. So here it could mean I saw a chosh of a person. Elohim reisi oli min haaretz. I saw a chosh of a person arising from the ground. Which we'll see in a moment, she's going to identify as Shmuel. There's a Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara says as follows: Rabbi Elozer kimoti lahai kro bochi. When Rabbi Elozer got to this pasuk, he cried. Which incidentally, the Musar movement as we know it from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is not that old. It started in the 1800s. But the proponents of Musar argue that even without a Musar Seder, but you can see from the earlier generations how they looked at the Torah and how they learned. They had like a built-in Musar Seder. When they saw certain psukim, they cried. and the course of their learning. This is the pasuk that brought Reb Elazar to tears. Vayomer Shmuel al Shaul. Shmuel said to Shaul, Lama hir gaz tini lahalososi. We're going to see this in a moment. Why did you anger me? Shmuel said, why did you cause me this anger to bring me up from the dead? Umay Shmuel hat sadik hoyim isiori min hadin. What was Shmuel afraid of? We're going to see Shmuel was afraid. He was upset that he was brought back to this world. He was brought up from where he was resting with all the niftarim. If Shmuel HaTzadik was afraid of the din, Anu Alachas Kama V'Kama, certainly how much we would have to be afraid of the Yom HaDin. Shmuel Maihi, where do you see that Shmuel was afraid? Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, Vatomer Ho'isha El Shol, the woman said to Shol, Elohim Ro'isi Olim, I saw the angels arising from the dead. Olim Trei Mashma, this word Olim is in plural. If it just meant the chosh of a person, it should say, Elohim ro'isi oleh. I saw a chosh of a person coming up. What's the olim? Chad Shmuel. It must be that one of the spirits she saw coming up was Shmuel. The idoch. And what's the other person who came? Da'ozel Shmuel va'asi le'moshe bahadei. Shmuel Hanavi went, and he brought Moshe Rabbeinu with him. Amar lei. Because Shmuel said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Dilma chas v'shalom l'dina misbo'ina. Maybe I'm being summoned to trial. The Mefarshim say this is within the 12 months when he was nifter, and that's a time of din, of judgment for the one who was nifter. Shmuel said, maybe I'm being brought to judgment. Kumba hadoi, get up with me. Deleka milsa de kasvis boraisa. There's nothing that you wrote in the Torah, Delo kiyamte, that I didn't fulfill. Once he brought his star witness, Shmuel said, I might be brought to trial. Moshe Rabbeinu, come along with me and say that whatever you wrote in the Torah, I fulfilled. And Shmuel was upset and he was angered. If Shmuel HaTzadik feels an anguish for the Yom HaDin, how much more so we should? And Reb Elazar, when he saw this pasuk, he cried. Taisus asks, it can't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to come and testify that Shmuel HaTzadik is a tzadik. Demeno yada, v'holo haye b'dayroi. Taisva says, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't alive with Shmuel. He wasn't in the same generation. Why is he bringing Moshe Rabbeinu? He should bring somebody who was alive in his time if he wanted somebody who could testify to the way he was. So why did he bring Moshe Rabbeinu? The reason was, this is what he said. I want you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to say, Elohai Omer, Shmuel said like this, Kach v'kach darashti v'osisi. This is the way I darshened whatever mitzvah of the Torah, and I acted on that. V'osisi maisa. Bo v'ha'ideini shekein l'marato gam ota. I'd like you to come and say testimony that's the way you explain the mitzvah also. Or that the way I explain the mitzvahs and the way I conducted my life, I would like you to testify that I learned the correct pshat in the Torah. So what I did was a correct judgment. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz has a discussion on that. There's the psukim that make you joyful and there's the psukim that bring you to tears. But he said, Shmuel's not even afraid of doing an Aveira. It's not that Shmuel was afraid, maybe I did an Aveira. Or maybe I even made a mistake. Shmuel was saying, not a mistake in action, or it wasn't like a shogeg. Shmuel was saying, maybe I explained the mitzvah wrong, and I did something because I felt it was correct. I would want Moshe Rabbeinu to come and say that I explained the Torah correctly. I didn't make a mistake in judgment. So if Shmuel had a fear of such a minor offense, I mean, relatively speaking, if Shmuel had such a fear, so where does that leave us? And he basically says, a person has to daven. You have to daven. A lot of people have good intentions, but they make mistakes. A person has to have siyata dishmaya that he's doing the right thing. That's the sobering thought. That Rav Loza, when he got to this pasuk, he cried. Of course, it's somebody like Shmuel, somebody who's able to live on such a level. Of course, his Gan Eden, his Olam Haba is on a, it's on a totally different plane. It's on a different level. We're not judged on that level. The tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's medakdei kechut ha'sayra, but this was Shmuel's fear of judgment. Vayomer lo hamelech. So the king said to her, Altiri, do not be afraid, Kimar Rois, what did you see? Batomer Yishol Shol, and the woman said to Shol, Elohim Roisi Oli Min Haaretz. I saw the spirits coming up from the ground, like angels, which we just explained, meaning Shmuel Hanavi, together with Moshe Rabbeinu. The two came up together. And it's interesting. Shol did the wrong thing in calling up this Ov, in calling up the spirit of Shmuel. But you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even so, he appreciated the tsar, the Mefarshim point out. He appreciated the tsar that he was going through, and he helped him even though he was doing the wrong thing. It's almost like the ganef, if who steals an animal and he shechs it. If it's an ox, he's got to pay five times as much. And if it's a sheep, he only pays four times as much, because after all, the ganef had to carry the sheep on his shoulders. It's a bizoyin, and it's a tircha. He had to carry it on his shoulders. The Torah says, you know, he'll only have to pay four times as much. Here, Shmuel did the wrong thing, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciated the fact that he really was against the Ov, and he had banished all of the Ov from the land. Just hear his great fear and his tsar, and he felt it was for Klal Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted him that Shmuel appeared. Vayomer lo mataro. Shol said to this woman, what did he appear like? Vatomer, she said, ish zokein ole. It was an old man rising up. V'hu ote me'il, and he was garbed in a cloak. He was wearing a cloak. According to the explanation that there were two spirits came up, Ish Zokin Ola could be referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. There was an old man that arose. Shmuel wasn't old. V'hu ote me'il, but being cloaked in this, garbed in this cloak, that's referring to Shmuel. Vayeda Shol ki Shmuel hu. And Shol knew that it was Shmuel. Vayikod apayim artza. And he bowed with his face to the ground, vayishtochu, and he prostrated himself. He knew that this was actually Shmuel. And the Mefarshim discuss, either it could be, he didn't know where Shmuel was, he couldn't see anything. Maybe it means he bowed down to Hashem with thanks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was finally going to give him a glimpse of what would happen, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Shmuel to appear. Or maybe he bowed down knowing that Shmuel was in the room, so he bowed down. Vayomer Shmuel al Shol. So now Shmuel said to Shol, Loma hir gaztani, why did you anger me? You disturbed me. Lahalo sosi, to bring me up. Vayomer Shol, so Shol said, Tsar li ma'oid, I'm having a lot of pain, I'm having a lot of difficulty. Uflishtim nilchamim bi, the plishtim are fighting against me. The simple meaning is that's his difficulty. Right now, the plishtim are assembled for war. But with that vav, some point out, uplishtim is almost like it's a separate thing. Tsar li ma'od, I'm going through a very difficult time in life. Uplishtim, and also the plishtim are fighting against me. So, you know, if things would be well, I could handle this one problem of the plishtim, but I have this tsar, and the plishtim are fighting. Ve'elokim sor me'olai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has turned away from me. V'lo anoni odin, he's no longer answering me. Gambiyad ha-Nevi'im, not through the prophets, the Nevi'im don't have an answer for me. Gamba chalomos, there's no vision that's given to me at night, there's no dreams, no way of foretelling the future. Vo'ek ro'el lecho, and I'm calling you, lehodieni mo'esa, to let me know what I should do. And that word, the simple way to read it would be vo'ek ro'el lecho. Vo'ek ro'el lecho. It's written unusually, and it's pronounced, the nekudos are unusual. Vo'ek ro'el lecho. And the Das Sofrim points out that Shaul was in a very embarrassing situation. He's now confronted with Shmuel. And he brought up Shmuel using the power of Ov with this tumah. He's almost embarrassed to say, I called you up with the Balas Ov. He speaks with like a Lashon Megumgum, with like he's stammering, he's not speaking clearly. Voek ro'elecho, I called you. But he's almost embarrassed to say how he called Shmuel. He's called Shmuel using the power of Ov. Some say that's why, Pasha Pshat, that was why Shmuel was upset. We saw Chazal say he was upset because he was afraid it was the Yom HaDin. Could be he was upset that the koach of the Oiv was used to bring him up. But for Ekro Elecha, I called you, Lehodieni Moesa, to let me know what I should do. Now he didn't mention, he wasn't answered with the Urim, which is what it said earlier. In other words, it says before that he was not answered in Pasuk Vav. He was not answered with the Urim, the Tumim, because he had killed Novi Irakonin. And Evyosar ran away with the Urim Vitumim and joined David HaMelech. And therefore, Shaul was not given any answer through the Urim. But now that he spoke to Shmuel, he didn't say it. And Chazal say in Brochus Daf Yud Beis, because he was embarrassed. He didn't want to say to Shmuel, I wasn't answered with the Urim, because then the retort would be, you weren't answered with the Urim because you killed the Kohanim. You killed the Kohanim, that's why not answered through the Urim. Because for that you need a Kohen. So he left that out. And Chazal say, if somebody does an Aveira, and he's embarrassed, he's forgiven. And we'll see this was forgiven for Shaul, and we'll see what ends up happening, where he ends up in Gan Eden. There's an interesting Chazal, a Medrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown every generation with its leaders, what would happen. And he was shown that the first king of Klal Yisrael, Shaul, would be killed together with his sons in battle. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, why does that happen? Why is Shaul being killed? And Hashem answered, because he communicated using Ov, and because he killed Novi HaKohanim. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, be Moichel him. So Hashem said, using this Ov, I'll be Moichel him. But what involved the Kohanim, for that you have to ask the Kohanim for Mechila. And that's why the last pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim says, V'isho isha kiyya v'hem ovo yidoni mos yumosu, that that doing ov is chayiv misa, a person who does this type of magic, whatever, is chayiv misa, he deserves death. But that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been Michael Shaul. The next parsha immediately begins, Emor al HaKohanim v'nei Aaron, but speak to the Kohanim that they should be Moichel for the fact that he killed Novi HaKohanim. That was not forgiven. But we'll see in a moment. I'm calling you Lehodieni Moesa to let me know what I should do. Vayomer Shmuel. Shmuel said, V'loma tishaleini. Why are you asking me? Vashem sor me'alecha, Hashem turned away from you, which Shaul's fully aware of. Shaul just said that. Shmuel's saying, why are you coming to me? Hashem turned away from you, vayhi arecha. The simple meaning would be, Hashem is now your enemy. He turned away from you, vayhi arecha, he's your enemy. But the Targum in Rashi quotes, that not chas v'sholem, that Hashem is the enemy of Shaul HaTzadik. Vayhi arecha means Hashem is with your enemy. Meaning you regard David as an enemy. The one you regard as an enemy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now with him. So why are you coming to me? What's going to be? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in you anymore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to David. Vayas Hashem loy. And Hashem did to the person you consider your enemy. Hashem did for him, kasher diber biyodi, like he spoke through me. As I, Shmuel, told you previously, you're going to lose the Malchus and it's going to David. And it's happened. That's it. David is now taking over. Vayikra Hashem es hamam locho miyodecha. Hashem tore the malchus from your hand. Vayidnoh, and he gave it lereyacha, to your friend, to your colleague, leDavid. David really is a reya. He's a friend. He's somebody who cares about Shaul, as we've seen countless times. So Shaul views him as an enemy. But Vayitno l'reyach ala David. Hashem has given the malchus to your friend, to David. Kasher lo shamata b'kol Hashem. Like you didn't listen to the voice of Hashem. V'lo asisa charon apo ba'amolek, and you didn't do the wrath, the anger of Hashem against Amalek. And we've mentioned before, by Amalek, it's not just a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek. But just like in the Torah, there's a mitzvah of Zochar Eis Asher Osa Lecha Amalek, to remember what Amalek did, and Lo Tishkach, and not to forget. And then there's a mitzvah of Timcha Zechar Amalek. That's a separate mitzvah. There's one mitzvah to remember what Amalek did. There's another mitzvah to wipe out Amalek. And in fact, that's the part of the whole machlokes, where the women are mechuyev to hear Parsha Zochar or not. The opinions that hold that she's not mechuyev, one reason is because you're supposed to remember what they did in order to wipe them out. And if women are not the ones who go to war, they're not mechuyev to remember that. I say it's a machlokes, and there are a lot of poskim that they are mechuyev. But there's a connection between remembering what Amalek did and wiping them out. And we had before, when we learned in Shmuel about the battle of Shaul against Amalek, it said over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I remember what Amalek did to Klal Yisrael when they came out of Mitzrayim, and now you should go and wipe out Amalek. There's always, you have to remember what Amalek did and then wipe them out. V'lo asisa charon apo v'amalek. It's not just you didn't wipe out Amalek. You have to have the emotions, you have to have the wrath and the anger against Amalek, as Amalek is the personification of evil in this world. And it has to be a charon af. And we learned before, when Shaul fought against Amalek, he went into the battle with questioning it. It says, Vayorev banochal, when he was in that by the stream, he had an inner turmoil, that the Torah is so worried about a single life. And we know that if there's a single person that's dead and we don't know who murdered the person, there's an Egla Rufa, and here we're supposed to wipe out a whole nation. He didn't carry out the Charoin Apoi B'Amalek, Hashem's anger against Amalek. And he left over Agog. Al-Kain HaDover HaZeh. Therefore, this thing, this matter, Osalacha Hashem Hayom HaZeh, Hashem has done to you today. What's going to happen is a punishment for not listening to Hashem. And the Abarbanel mentions, the Midrash actually mentions there were five Averis that Shaul was guilty of. One of them was consulting with the Ov and not consulting the Nevi'im and the Urim V'Tumim, and he obviously didn't do enough to get a message from Hashem in proper means. But that was forgiven. At least asking the Balasov. But the three Averas that he's left with were one Avera that Shmuel had told him, when the Plishtim come to go to war, there's going to be a time you'll have to wait 7 days, and then I'll show up and I'll bring the carbon, and then after that you can go to war. And Shaul did not wait those 7 days. This happened when they were in Gilgal. I was in Perek Yud Gimel. Kasher lo shamata b'kol Hashem. When you didn't listen to the voice of Hashem, could be referring to the fact that he didn't wait 7 days for Shmuel to bring the carbon. He waited 7 days and then he brought the carbon himself. But he didn't wait for Shmuel. As a result of that, he was told the malchus would be taken away from him and his children would not be kings. The second Avera that remains, v'lo asisa charon apo v'amolik, is that he didn't wipe out Agog and he saved the sheep, and he didn't wipe out Amalek, he didn't carry out Hashem's anger against Amalek. As a result of that, his own life was shortened, and in his lifetime David was anointed to be the king. So he spent the remainder of his life knowing that there was another person out there who was anointed, who would definitely be the king, as a punishment for sparing Agog, not wiping out Amalek. And the third Avera, that he went ahead and he killed Novir HaKohanim. Because of that, he and his children were killed. They were all killed by the sword. And of course, it means his children obviously also deserved an Einish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu works out all the cheshbonis. but there's a punishment to him that his children were killed by the sword, and all that is as a result because he killed Novi HaKohanim. V'yitein Hashem gam es Yisrael imcha, and Hashem will give also Klal Yisrael together with you, v'yad plishtim, in the hands of the plishtim. Meaning the plishtim are going to win the battle. It doesn't say if many Yidden are going to be killed or not. They're going to be defeated. But umachar atu v'necha imi, but you, Sheol, and your sons tomorrow will be with me. Simply meaning they won't be in this world anymore, they'll be killed. They'll be in the Olam HaEmes. But Chazal learned out, imi, as Rashi brings down, be mechitzasi. They'll be in Gan Eden in the same mechitza with Shmuel HaNavi. And there are midrashim that seem to say it wasn't just the greatness of Sheol, but the very fact that Sheol was told he was going to die in battle. And Sheol now had a dilemma. He knows if he goes to war, he's going to be killed. There's a question, maybe he shouldn't go to war, he should run away. And the Me'am Lo'ez brings down, he debated, should he run away or not? And one of his sons told him, no, Lamaisa, this is what the Navi says, and he should go with the Mesiras Nefesh and lead Klal Yisrael in war, because that's what the Navi said should happen. And we'll see in a moment, he wasn't discouraged. He was given this message, and he picked himself up afterwards, and he went to war, and he fought valiantly, knowing he went with his sons to war, knowing they were going to die. And that Mesiras Nefesh, so he died al Kiddush Hashem, and the fact that he fought for Klal Yisrael, and he gave his life for Klal Yisrael, that was the zechus that he was in the mechitza with Shmuel. But umochar atu v'necha imi, Gamas Machane Yisrael, and also the camp of Klal Yisrael, Yitan Hashem b'yad plishtim, Hashem will give over to the hands of the plishtim. Now the Pasuk already mentioned that Gamas Yisrael imcha b'yad plishtim, that they'll be given over to the plishtim. But some before she mentioned the sequence of events is that Hashem will give over Klal Yisrael with Sheol to the plishtim, meaning they'll lose the war. Number two, Sheol and his sons will die in that battle. And number three is after the battle, in Perek Lamed Aleph, it says that Klal Yisrael ran away. In Pasuk Zayin, Perek Lamed Aleph, it says the Klal Yisrael, Kinosu Anshe Yisrael, they fled from the battlefield and they abandoned the cities and the Plishtim took over those cities. That could be the third part of the Pasuk. Hashem will give the Machane Yisrael, meaning the encampment of Klal Yisrael, where the Yidden were living. Their houses would be given over to the Plishtim because the Yidden would run away after this war. Vayimahir Sheol. Sheol hastened. Vayipol Malokom Oso Arza. And he fell with his full length. Totally went full flat on the ground. Vayira Ma'od. And he was very afraid, Midivrei Shmuel, from the words of Shmuel. Gam Koach Lohayavo. And he didn't have the strength. Kilo ochal lechem, he didn't eat bread, kol hayom v'chol aloyla, the whole day and the whole night, he had not eaten. And hearing this shocking news that he was going to die the next day, he totally fell, and he was afraid. So the Das Seifrim brings up Shad, Vayimar Sheol hastened, he was ready to run out, I guess run back to Klal Yisrael and maybe get ready for the war. He ran out, and he tripped, and he fell. But he took that as a sign that his downfall was at hand. He ran and he fell, but it could possibly mean that he ran, that he hurried. Vayimar Sheol, he hurried, meaning before Shmuel even finished his words, he quickly fell straight onto the ground in fear. Batavo Yishol Sheol, the woman came to Sheol. Of course, if he had run, she came after him. But according to the shot that he was in the room, she was involved with this Ov, with bringing up the spirit. She left whatever she was involved with. Remember, she didn't hear anything. She saw the spirit of Shmuel, but she didn't hear anything. So now, but she was involved with Shmuel, and now she saw Sheol had collapsed, fell on the ground, maybe she heard him. So she came from where she was, she turned, Vatavo Yishol Sheol, and she came to Sheol. Vatera ki nivhal ma'od. And she saw that he was very confused and very shaken up. Vatomer Elov, she said to him, Hine shama shivchoscha bekolecha, your maidservant listened to your voice. I listened to your request. V'osim nafshi b'chapi, and I placed my life in my hands. I knew that bringing up the spirit is something that Shaul, the king, killed the people who did the Ove. And I risked it because you swore to me that nothing would happen, and I realized how it was obviously of great importance to you. He swore by the name of Hashem that she should bring up the spirit. I placed my life in my hand and I did what you requested. For Eshmas Devarech, and I heard your words, Kasher Dibarte, what you spoke to me. Va'aton now, Shmano, you should listen now. Gamata also you, because Shivchosecha. I want you to listen to me. Ve'osim olefanecha paslechem, and I'm going to place before you some bread. Ve'achol, and you should eat. Ve'hivacha koach, and you'll have the strength, kiselech badorach, when you go on the road. And the Me'am Lois points out over here, you see she was noig with the meat of hachnasas orchim. In other words, the fact, the Torah stresses the fact that she gave, we'll see, she gave more than bread. He ran up quite a bill of what he ate at this place. But she gave him some bread, that he should have the strength to go on his way. Some bring a raya from here. Wait a moment for that comment. Shaul had not eaten that whole day. Could be he realized the plishtim were gathered for war. Klal Yisrael would be going to war imminently, and that Klal Yisrael fasted before they went to war. As difficult as it is to understand, that explanation is brought down by Tainus Esther. They fasted before they went to war, so we fast before Purim. But the Klal Yisrael fasted, and Shaul could be fasted as a tainus before the battle, as doing tshuva, or could be in general he was so upset and he was at such a loss of what to do that he fasted. But he hadn't eaten, and now she told him to eat the bread. Vayimoin, and he refused. Vayomer lo ochal, and he said, I won't eat. Vayifritzu vo avodov. And they persisted. His servants persisted. V'gam ha'isha, and the woman persisted. And they pressured him. V'yishma l'kolam, and finally he listened to their voice. The word v'yifritzu, Pashin means like the Radak brings down like v'yiftziru. Means they asked him many times. But the Das Seifrim brings down, it's written v'yifritzu, like the word pirza, to make a breach, to make a hole. Like Vayifritzu, they like penetrated through to Shaul. They finally were able to drive their message home that he should accept it. He didn't want to eat. But he's going to war the next day, and he had no strength. He collapsed on the ground, and he couldn't get up. He had no strength. So Vayifritzu Vo'avodav, they were able to finally penetrate his refusal. And finally, Vayishma L'kolom, and he listened to their voice. Vayokom me'aretz, he got up from the ground. Vayeshev alamita, and he sat on the bed. V'loisha egel marbek babayis. She had a calf that had been fattened up. And she was fattening this up, probably for some special occasion, in the house. Vatmar vatiz bocheyu. And she hurried, and she shechted it. Vatigach kemach vatolosh, and she took flour and she kneaded it. Vatofeu matzos, and she baked it as matzos. She worked quickly. She shechted it. Some bring a raya from here that a woman is allowed to shecht. As a maisa, only on a practice, that's the very beginning of Yoredeya discusses that, whether a woman can shecht or not. But the Ikar Hadin, some bring a raya from here that you see that a woman is able to shecht. She shechted it, and 1, 2, 3 prepared this meat, and at the same time, I don't know how she did it all so quickly, she quickly kneaded and prepared the kemach and baked matzahs. And Vatofeu was written without an aleph. It's chaser aleph. Some say because it was lacking in time. In other words, this was all done in such extreme haste, it's written without the aleph. Vatagesh lifnei Shaul, and she served it before Shaul, lifnei avodav, and before his servants. Vayochelu, and they ate. Vayakumu vayelchu, they got up and they went on their way, balaylahu, on that night. But you see the greatness of Shaul. They got up, they went on their way that night, and we'll see he went to war and he didn't give up and there was no yush, and he knew he was going for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. And even though it's a very sad episode, and we'll see, you know, indeed Shaul was killed, but Chazal also point out it was a toiva done for him. That Shaul ended his life without seeing somebody else sitting on his throne. The adversary. That he didn't have to see in his lifetime David HaMelech should sit on his throne and take over his malchus. He was killed first, and then afterwards we'll see eventually David is the king. But here he leaves the Baal HaSov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this, I guess, chesed, whatever, and lets Shaul see what's going to happen in the future, and Shaul's going to come back and prepare with the battle of the Plishtim. And as we learned before, David is with the Plishtim, and we'll see what ensues in Perek Chavtes. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.